Good evening. Welcome to an episode of the Under Helmet Podcast. Living in Wisconsin, you cover semi-pro here, there, everywhere. Today's guest is someone who I have a deep respect for. He is the head coach of the Wisconsin Hitmen, one of the all-time greatest receivers in the history of Lakeland University. Coach Calvin Thomas. Good evening, Coach. How are you?
Hey, good evening.
Coach, when you look at it now, when you look at Wisconsin semi-pro, especially the Hitmen, let's kind of start at the beginning. You were recruited out of Detroit. What made you decide to come to Wisconsin?
So when I first was getting initially recruited for football, I got a lot of interest from the Badgers and stuff like that, but I was more of a walk-on status. Lakeland put together because they were NAIA at the time, put together a package that would pretty much get me to school for pennies to a dollar. And so I decided to come to Lakeland and play football, and from there, the rest is history.
Now, when you look at Lakeland and how it has evolved their program, do you ever sit back and say, you know what, I helped build this?
Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, it's still a lot of us old-timers that's around the Sheboygan area, and that's what we always talk about when we meet some of the new football players, whether they're fraternity brothers or just guys from the city, because Lakeland recruits the city of Detroit a lot. And so we always say, man, we built that stadium that y'all play in, you know, with all of the wins that we've had on the way and stuff like that. And so it feels good when you walk into that stadium to see the atmosphere that Lakeland has created. And it's a good feeling.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. The best Lakeland team of the last 3 years versus the team from when you played. Who wins that game and why?
Well, see, the 1997 team, which was the undefeated team, I believe that we would win because of up front. We had a lot of Division II transfers and D1 transfers in, and so, like, that team was pretty stacked. You'll see that it's probably one of two undefeated teams during that year for Division III football alone. We wasn't invited into the playoffs for because our conference wasn't big enough at the time, and so we missed out on the playoffs. We had some big wins. We beat some D2 schools that year, and so I say that team is one of the best teams in Lakeland College history.
Now, still being relatively young, do you ever get the urge to put the helmet on one more time?
No, that don't went past me, man. The joints, when you get started getting in your 40s, the joints don't sit right with some of these explosive sports, and so I stick to basketball and I stick to golf. That's my thing.
Now, what brought you to the Hitmen? What was it about the team that made you want to, like, go there and see what the culture is?
So one of the things that attracted me to the Hitmen was when I was the offensive coordinator for the Sheboygan Rebels, Sheboygan County Rebels. I was the offensive coordinator from there, and we had got to play against the Hitmen our first year in the MSFL. And we had we battled pretty well. They wound up beating us 21-14 in overtime. But I noticed that they had a lot of athletes, but quarterback play wasn't that great. And the offense was decent. The offensive schemes was decent. And I was like, man, if I could coach those athletes and bring in a quarterback, that team would instantly win a championship. And so the following year, Sheboygan decided that they wasn't going to field a team. And Jamal Napoleon, had hit me up and he was like, "Hey, Cal, man, you know what I'm saying? The head coach just stepped down. He was our OC. We need you to come over here and run the offense. There'll be a great fit." And he hooked me up with Spike, and Spike was like, "Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If you're interested, we're looking for an offensive coordinator." And that was how I enticed. I don't know if you know DK, Dylan Kelly, who was a Lakeland grab as well. I was like, "Hey, DK, I'm coming down here." DK was excited to play with more athletes as well because he was a very good quarterback. And, you know, 14 games later, we was MSFL champions.
Now, when you look at the roster, and just before we delve into the roster, how have you been able to kind of keep the team focused on, okay, we have that title on us, but we need to focus on the now and the future?
So one of the things when Spike decided to bring the Hitman back, because we took a break during the COVID, after the COVID season, that was my, when he was like, he asked me to be the head coach. And I, right away, even though Maul was their previous head coach, I hit Maul up and I said, "Hey, Spike just asked me. I know that you say you don't want to do it, but man, I need you to come with me, man. I need, like, it's always been me and Jamal." And so I just was like, you know what I'm saying? I know you don't really want to be all the way invested. How about you just be on the staff and be around?" And we had another DC set up before he had some family obligations and he couldn't do it. And Maul was like, "Okay, I can't leave you out to dry. I'll take over the defense." His wife signed up. But one of the things that we talked about, just us three alone, was saying, yo, we had to rebuild the culture and get young. And that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to rebuild the culture, get young, and create a culture where it's evolved around effective communication as far as in practicing and communicating that you can't make it to practice. And so one of the things that we do is we have a no opt-out system, meaning if you can't make a physical practice, then you better be at a virtual practice, because we do practice virtually as well.
Now, when I look at this roster, a lot of the names look familiar. You got guys like, you mentioned Dylan Kelly, you mentioned a guy like Andrew Cataruccia, you got Jordan Jewell. These are guys, Monty Cooper, these are guys that are veteran, but extremely talented veterans, but still young enough to make plays. How have you been able to mesh veteran elite talent with younger elite talent and make it work?
Well, one of the things that we did was recruiting status. Like, so the first thing I usually do is most teams, they'll run and they'll try and get young with grabbing young high school kids or grabbing kids that are fresh out of college. You know, I still take the college route because I like those kids. Those kids, you don't have to focus so much on the X's and O's. You just work more technique with those. But also I looked at, like, yo, let me get the kids or the guys or the men, rather, that are coming, that are finishing arena. They may have got a good job. You know, they're still relatively young. They still want to play some football, but they can't commit to arena anymore. And so those are the guys I go after. You know, you also know that my brother is the head coach for the Green Bay Blizzards. And so every now and then he'll say, "Hey, this kid, he's probably not going to make our roster, but he lives in Milwaukee or he lives in that area, and he can do you some service." And so he'll give me heads up about stuff like that.
Now, when you, like I mentioned, Monty Cooper. Now, back in the day, not too long ago, Monty was one of the fastest individuals I've seen on the football field. Is he still that guy?
Monty has gotten, he took a year off, and so he's still got some speed to him. But, you know what I'm saying, that old man is creeping up on him. He had made a great punt return this weekend against the Racine Raiders, where he started on one side of the field, got to the other, and then you could see the Hawk starting to creep up on him. So he still has a little burst to him, but he's definitely not one of the fastest guys on our team anymore.
Now, one of the guys that I also want to talk about is Antonio Hardy. So a guy known for a while, played for a few different teams, but has shown the dedication to the Hitman. What makes him one of the players to watch along that defensive front?
Wolf. We call him Wolf, and just like a wolf, he is ferocious. He is committed to his craft. Like a guy at his age, he always still, Coach Cal, how can I get better? What can I do to get myself better? He's not a know-it-all. You know, you get some guys that once they get to a certain age, you know, they become a know-it-all, and he's not that guy. He's always looking for ways that he can better his technique, even as a veteran.
I've seen him when he first started in the semi-pro field. He was, scouts call it, a puppy with big paws, which means it took him a little time to grow into himself and kind of grow into who he is now. And once he started using those hands and using the ability to string moves together and the ability to shed blocks, he's a whole headache right now. He's one of those talents that I think you'll be good for a while still. But when we come back from break, I want to talk more about the schedule, your outlook, and maybe a couple of Detroit Lions questions. But that's after this break. You are listening to the Under Helmet Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with our own podcast, Terrence Biggs, Wisconsin Hitman, head coach Calvin Thomas. Coach Cal, when you look at the schedule, who is the one team you have circled right now?
Well, I mean, we just came off a 1-point loss to Racine. But, you know, me personally, I try to stay focused at one game at a time. Every week we're trying to go 1-0. And so, we had a team fold for next week, and so we don't get to play next week. But we got up next after, so we're on a bye. But next week after that, we got the Cowboys. Was it the Chicago Cowboys? We have them next on the schedule, which is right now, because of our 1-point loss to Racine, they are the number one team in the MSFL. And so I think that's a game that's circled for us. That's a game that I believe is an away game. And so it's going to be another tough environment to get a win in. But offensively, this is probably one of the best offenses we have, having Justin Billiott as our starting quarterback. We have explosive kids Jason Gilley, Jay Gilley, who is probably one of the fastest guys in semi-pro. And then Shaq Russell, who is always explosive. I know you know Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq is always explosive. So we have guys that can make a lot of plays for us. And so I think that, you know, matching our offense versus their defense is going to be another battle, where it's going to be some points scored, there's going to be some chances for us to win the game. We just got to execute.
What people don't know is, especially in, like, outside of the Chicago area, that you had a pretty tough battle that you overcame, and you had a victory that everyone rooted for that was off the football field. You could explain?
Right. Yeah, so about 9 years ago, I was diagnosed with B-cell lymphoma, which is a blood disease, a cancer disease. And, you know, just was experiencing some pain in my leg. Couldn't figure out what it was. And, you know, after an MRI and biopsy, you know, I was diagnosed. And so I battled with that for 6-7 months. I've been cancer-free now for 8 years. And, you know, life is good, man, you know. I tend to tell that to that story to the high school kids, that anything is possible through prayer and spending time with your loved ones, when you'll fight for what you love. And that all of that, my battle with cancer was pretty much dedicated to my loved ones. My daughters was young, really young at the time, 4 years old, and Kalea's 21 now, so that 8 years ago she was, what, 13?
Yeah. And
so they were pretty young.
Now, when you look back at that and you look at it and you look at the course of not just life, but football career, what advice would you give 18-year-old Calvin, a receiver at Lakeland.
Man. 18-year-old Calvin was, I would say, be more social. I was, you know, I was, as I got more into my adulthood, I became a social butterfly. But I was really relatively shy as an 18-year-old freshman on campus. So I didn't come out the dorm room as much, didn't talk as much, especially during football season. I was a little bit more dedicated. I would have said be more social, you know what I'm saying, make contact with new people and expand myself, you know what I'm saying?
Now, you are also a proud son of Detroit, diehard Lions fan.
Yes, what sir.
What do you think of the current direction with Dan Campbell?
I'm actually excited. You know, a lot of people make fun of the bat, grab ankles, bite ankles, and do what you can. But if you can really, really see what he's doing, this is about physical and mental toughness. Detroit hasn't been a mentally tough team in a very long time. And even the times during the 90s when we were good with Coach Wayne Fonts, we were good football teams and we were able to get to the playoffs, but we wasn't mentally tough. And what he's building is a foundation of mentally tough, building it from the trenches, being able to run the ball and do some things with the athletes that we have. And I like the direction. The future is bright for Detroit, to be honest.
Now, with their draft picks, is there one particular draft pick or two particular draft picks that you saw that interest you, that you're like, okay, this guy will come in and be a player?
To me, I'm always excited about offensive line and defensive line, but I got really excited. You know, the Matt Miller era kind of put a sour taste in your mouth when you draft a wide receiver. But what's the kid name from Alabama we just drafted?
Jameson Williams.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited about that guy that I think that he's going to be a special addition to the Lions.
There's a guy that you drafted a little bit later on out of Jackson State, James Houston, where he has all the physical ability, like the tools, but he is as green as grass. Like, if you get him with a defensive coordinator or, like, a position coach, he has that double-digit sack potential. Now, speaking of, you have a guy in Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan, local guy. What do you think his ceiling is?
You know, a lot of people say that his ceiling has already been reached. That's what the draft board says, a lot, Mel Kiper and all of these draft gurus. But, you know, how can you really dictate what's in somebody's heart? You know what I'm saying? If Aiden does the work and continues to be who he has been, which is a hard worker, dedicated to his craft, I think the sky is the limit for that young man. He's a talent. He's a talent, and I see another Bosa type athlete in him.
I can see that he has a little Bosa. He has a little Max Crosby in him. Like, he has that. Relentlessness, and once he kind of gets a taste of the NFL, because he's a smart kid, he's going to do well. Now, also, being from Detroit, where is the best place in the city to go get a plate of food? When you go back home to visit, outside of family, what's the one restaurant you go to? You're like, yeah, I need a plate of this.
Well, so, you know, simplicity is everything. And one of the places that I love to go to is Coney Island. Like, and so it's always a discussion whether it's American Coney or Lafayette. I'm a Lafayette type of guy, but I will go on American, you know. But Lafayette got the best Coney dogs in the city, hands down.
One of our close friends, I think the last, I give him grief because I thought I saw a picture of him putting, or he had ketchup on a Coney. As a native Detroit son, do you ever put ketchup on a Coney?
Ketchup on a Coney is a no-no in the D, and he knows better than that. The only thing that you can put on there is mustard.
Now, also, what brand of, or what flavor of Faygo do you go with? I would go with the cream soda because they make the best cream soda on earth.
Man, it is nothing like a peach Faygo soda, man. That thing just hits different.
Now, what would you drink more of? A Rock and Rye Faygo or a glass of Verner's?
Oh, definitely Verner's. Verner's is where it's at.
Verner's is strong. That's the strongest ginger ale ever. I felt superhuman after drinking that stuff. Now, Coach Calvin Thomas of the Wisconsin Hitmen, thank you so much for joining us this week on Under the Helmet.
Thanks, man. Thank you for having me. Thank you for, you know what I'm saying, reaching out. Thank you for being a good friend that you've always been in the past. And appreciate being on the show, man. You're doing a good thing. Keep it
best up. Of luck. Hey, man, best of luck. Best of luck to you and the fam. This has been another episode of the Helmet Podcast. Be good to yourselves and be good to each other.